I want to talk this morning about enduring love. What is love? Spent a lot of our lives trying to figure that out. And one way a society expresses what love is through their music. And there have been thousands of songs written about love. And just in the last few years, I pulled out a few titles. And let's see if we can understand what love is just by some of these titles. Love is in the air. Love can be so cold. Love can build a bridge. Love can move mountains. Love changes everything. Love don't live here anymore. The older folks got that one. Love grows where my rosemary goes. Love makes the world go round. Love has a hold on me. Love hurts. Love bites. Love is a good thing. Love is a hurting thing. Love is a losing game. Love is a battlefield. Love is a many-splendored thing. Well, so I guess if you're trying to figure out what love is, it depends on what station you're listening to at what time of the day and who's singing the song. But I believe the Bible is the best source to understand what love is. And the Bible teaches us there are four types of love. There is love for friends, there's romantic love, there's family love, and there's unconditional love. And there are four Greek words for love that are important for us to understand. Phileo is love between friends, eros, the sense of being in love or romantic love. Storg is love of family, parent, child, siblings. And then agapeo, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Agape is the very nature of God, agape love. People today are accustomed to thinking that love is a feeling. But that's not the case with agape love. Agape love is love because of what it does. For example, the familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That is the word agape, the unconditional sacrificial love. Now, it didn't feel good for God to give His Son, but it was the loving thing to do. And we're so thankful that He did. So let's look at agape love in action. John chapter 13 is where we will be, mostly in John. John 13 verses 1 through 9. It was now just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the very end. Now there's two things I want us to notice in this first couple of verses. Several times over Jesus' ministry, He had made the statement that time has not yet come. But now the time had come. The time had come, He knew it had come, for Him to give Himself a sacrifice for our sins. The time had come for Him to die, to be buried, and to raise again. The time had come for Him to leave His disciples, to leave this earth and return to His former glory at the right hand of the Father. That time had now come. And the Bible says, having loved them to the end. So who's the them that we're talking about here? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the book of John to get the answer. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, John writes, "He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own," meaning He came to the Jews, "and His own did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Those are the ones. And if you have received Him, if you have believed upon Him, then that is who He is speaking to. That's who this Scripture is speaking to. So you could take and put your name right in that Scripture, and I want us to do that this morning. So I want to have the next slide come up and think about this. Having loved, put your name there. Having loved Kim, He loved her to the end. Having loved Chrissy, He loved her to the end. Having loved Jim, He loved him to the end. See, this is speaking to those there that had believed and is speaking to us today who have believed. Now, what end? What are we talking about here? What end did He love them to? Does it mean that Jesus just loved them until it was time for Him to go? Sadly, I've had spouses come to me over the years I've been in ministry and tell me he left or she left. And I will do my best to get in touch with that spouse that left and meet with them and ask him, is this the case? Yes. Why have you left? What is going on? Well, I don't love her anymore. My next question is this. Well, then who are you loving? Who are you loving? And that is not agape love. That is the eros love. That is the romantic love. And that's the height of the love that most people in this world ever experience. But agape love never ends. So let's look at this. That word, or that group of words, to the end, that Greek word, means to the fullest strength, capacity, and effectiveness. He loved them to the fullest, the absolute fullest. He loved them completely. He loved them to the fullest, and it transformed their lives. And when we experience this love from Jesus, it transforms our lives. And this is the way Jesus loves you. Now, here's the catch, though, and I want us to read on. There's a catch to experiencing his agape love. Go on to verse 2, chapter 13. The evening meal was underway, and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. Verse 4, so he got up from the supper, lay aside his outer garments, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that was around him. Why was this so out of scene, out of character? Who did the foot washing in this day? The slave. The servants. And not just any servant. There's a hierarchy in servants. There were the upper servants, and then there was the very lowest of the pecking order, the very lowliest servant. And that was the servant who got the job to wash the feet of the guest who came into the house. They would station just inside the door in the foyer area. They would have their basin of water and have their towels. Now think about this, though. In those days, what was transportation like? Most everybody walked to where they were going. And there was not pavement, it was dusty roads. And the animals, the cattle, the sheep, they traveled the same roads as everybody else. And so in the midst of the dust and the heat and the sweat and the mud and the excrement on the road, that's what people were walking on. So when they came to that house after a journey, their feet were pretty rotten. And so this slave, that was his job, to seat them down, take their sandals off, and wash their feet before they came on into the house. This is what Jesus now is doing with his disciples. Was Jesus a slave? Who did Jesus claim to be? What was so amazing about this? He claimed to be God. This is what infuriated the Pharisees. This is why they sought to kill him. He claimed to be God. This is God in the flesh, and what is he doing? He's washing his disciples' feet. Do you think the Pharisees ever washed anybody's feet? Absolutely not. These days we wear shoes, and most of the time people come in your house and don't even take them off. I'm guilty. Yet on the very night of his betrayal, this is the night of his betrayal, Jesus' act of love was to wash their feet hours before his crucifixion. And mind this, he even washed Judas's feet. He even washed Judas's feet. Then verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Never shall you wash my feet, Peter told him. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Peter understood what he was saying, and he replied, then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. So what's taking place here? There have been churches since the New Testament who have practiced foot washing. Maybe you've been to one before. And they take this literally. We're to wash each other's feet. And I'm glad we don't, because I have potophobia. It's a fear of other people's feet. I mean, if we did that and Jesus told me to, I suppose I would, but I would request I get to wash the baby's feet because I can handle baby's feet. But this is symbolism. This is symbolism, and we have to understand it. Now, I can believe all the Bible says about God, about His love. I can believe what it says about His sacrifice. But if I don't let Jesus love me this way, if I don't let His love wash away my guilt, my shame, my wounds, my failures, my heartaches, my doubts, my anger, if I don't let His love wash every part of me, what's He say? You have no part in me. You have no part in me. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't believe Jesus loves you as much as somebody else because of X, Y, Z, it's because you haven't yet experienced this love in the core of your being. If you think you're loved any less than anybody else, or if you're trying to get your life straightened up and do right enough and make up for this so Jesus can love you like He loves everybody else, you haven't experienced it yet. You haven't yet experienced it. The Bible says, having loved them, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. So what does this mean? With Jesus and His love for us, there was never a beginning. He has always loved us. He has always loved you. And there will never be an end to His love for you. Now, it doesn't say He loved His disciples because they were the best of the bunch, because they followed Him, because they had stuck with Him. It doesn't say anything about a condition of Him loving them. It just said He loved them. He always loved them. And that's the same for us today. There's no condition to His love. There's no condition to agape love. Now, I want you to listen to this for a moment. This is truth. There's nobody who's ever existed in this world or who ever will exist that God loves more than you. You believe it? And there's nobody He'll love any less. That's agape love. That's perfect love. That is God love. That is the love that He has given us to experience. There's nobody. Nobody. And the question is this morning, have you let Him love you this way? It's one thing to believe in it. It's one thing to be close to it. It's one thing to be in the room where He's washing everybody. But if you're the one who says, oh no, Lord, you don't understand. You can't wash that. I mean, maybe you can wash this, but you don't want to go there. I mean, you're God. This was Peter. What was the deal with Peter? This was Peter's pride. This was Peter's arrogance. And Jesus saying, Peter, I need to wash that too. I need to wash you. I need to wash every part of you. We don't have the option of saying, Lord, you can wash this part, but I'm probably going to need to hold on to this and work it out. That's not an option. He wants to heal every part of us, and He does that with His agape love. That's what He wants to do. He won't settle for anything less. And when you allow Jesus to wash you this way, you will not carry that guilt anymore. You won't carry that shame anymore. You won't carry that hurt anymore. You won't carry that anger anymore. When He washes it away, you are liberated. Liberated from all of it. From any chain, you are liberated from it. And then you are free to love others that same way. Do you see? So why did Jesus do this act right before He's leaving? Right before He's being crucified? Let's look at John 13, verses 12 and 13. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on His outer garments, He reclined with them again and asked, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. Is He saying you need to go out and start washing feet? Literally? No. What He's saying is you go out and you love others the way I just love you. You love others that way. No matter what you think your position in this life is, or what you think your status is, you serve this way, by loving unconditionally. And what difference will that make in the lives of people? What difference will it make in a society? Let's look down a little later in the chapter, John 13, 34. After all of this, he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another this way. They won't know you're my disciples because you're romantic with each other, which romantic love is a great thing, or friendship love is a great thing. Family love is an awesome thing. If you love people this way, they're going to know. They're going to know you're my disciple. You're going to know you're my disciple. And if you look at that verse, you must love one another. Out of the four types of love, do you know which one he used right there? Can you guess? Agape. Agape. You know, there is a common theme in the Apostle Paul's writing. We know the Apostle Paul was on the road headed to Damascus to torment Christians, to imprison Christians. And while Paul, who formerly was Saul, was on that road, he met Jesus and experienced Jesus' agape love in his life. Paul would later refer to himself as the chief of sinners. You think you've done bad? Let me show you this list. But he had experienced this agape love that had washed every part of his being clean. And his aim then at that point was to introduce this love to others so they could understand it. Now, I want us to close with one of his letters. He wrote this same theme if you go through all the letters he wrote. But look in Ephesians 3 what he says. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I ask that out of the riches of His glory He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love, agape, will have power, together with all the saints, to comprehend the length, the width, and the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We can't even begin to comprehend it until we first experience it. And we can't first experience it until we say, Lord, wash all of me. Consume me with your agape love. Isn't it beautiful? Why did Jesus do that right before he was crucified? To show us what agape love really is. That once we experience it, we can give it. And we can then begin to understand the depth, the width, the height, and the length of His love for us. Once I have fully and completely experienced it, the selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love, then what happens in our lives? It becomes our aim to help others know this love. Because there's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more transforming. There's nothing more liberating. When all the rest is gone, we have it. So I ask this morning, I'm sure you know about it. You've heard about it. But have you let Him wash you? Or you're like Peter still. Oh, you can't stoop so low, Jesus, because of whatever, X, Y, Z. He says, if you don't let me wash you, you can't have part of me. Let Him completely in. I remember struggling through all of this, not wanting to open every door to my heart, but some of them, until finally it was, have your way. Have your way. Your cleansing power, your love, take me, flood me, transform me, heal me, because I understood I couldn't go any farther to grasping, understanding, or experiencing the rest until that moment happened. Let's stand together this morning. Having loved His own, He loved them to the fullest, the completeness. And what's amazing, when Jeff was speaking to it, the incredible experience of knowing His love and getting to share that with one another, and watch how that works in a community. When we're not judging one another, finding fault with one another, but we have all experienced something so incredible and so amazing that we just like being together and sharing it and encouraging each other's journey. If you've never experienced the love of Jesus this way, then this is the perfect time to do it. Just let Him in. I guarantee you, your Valentine's Day will be different than anyone you've ever had before, knowing His agape love for you. Father, have Your way. Where there's any closed door to our hearts, any room, we're just trying to fix it ourselves, clean it up ourselves, wash it ourselves, and we haven't let You in. May we say like Peter this morning, "Oh Lord, don't just stop with my feet, wash my head, wash everything. Make me whole." That's what You came to do. That's what You can do through the sacrifice You made for our sins on the cross. So I pray this morning, hearts and souls would be liberated and freed. Not just to know this love and the depth and height of it, but to be able to share it then with others. In Your name I pray. Amen. If this morning you need to make a decision for Jesus or make public your faith in Him, or come for baptism, if you need prayer, if you just want to come around this altar, just between you and the Lord, this is our time to do that. Yeah.